This is Lisa Horlander, and please don't drink the paint water. The podcast, conversations between artists about our work and other great advice to survive as an artist. This is Lisa Horlander, artist, curator, teacher, and podcast host. My goal is to give you a glimpse into artist life and how to be a part of that. Thanks for listening in today. Today, I'm excited to have my friend Catherine Gohlmert on with me. Welcome, Catherine.
Hi, Lisa. Nice to be on this show with you.
It is nice to have you. Not in person, but someday maybe. So Catherine Gohlmert received her bachelor's in studio arts from the University of Texas at Austin in 2007. She lived in Shanghai from 2008 to 2013, where she realized numerous projects and exhibitions, receiving various awards and project grants. In 2014, she moved to Berlin, and in 2017, founded the artist collective Gonzo Mechanics. In 2019, she received an MFA in Public Art and New Artistic Strategies from Bauhaus University in Weimar. She currently lives and works in Berlin and Weimar with projects divided between Germany, China, and the U.S. Good to have you today.
Hi, it's a pleasure to be here. I'm delighted.
I'm so excited. I love the fact that we can have you on here, even though you're already all the way in Germany and we're here in Texas. It's so nice to connect.
Yeah, I love that. For me, too, it's really nice to feel connected somehow to Texas, even though I'm not there at the moment.
You're always in our hearts.
Likewise. I'm missing kind of the Texas weather. We have beautiful fall here in Germany. It starts to go September, October, and by November, I'm really wishing I was in, like, Texas for fall when it's, you know, still beautiful and sunny when it's November.
Yeah, like it's here where it's muggy and I think in the 90s and rainy. So yeah, we'll be there until probably November. Speaking of being cozy, what's in your glass? Do you have tea today?
In my glass, I do not have tea. I drink really mean black coffee.
Yes.
Non-stop.
Yeah. Nothing else in there.
Nothing else. It is really just coffee.
I had some coffee today. I think I have two in my studio waiting for me.
I wish I had something more exciting than that, but my tequila studio days are over. The work is a lot better when it's just black coffee.
There's something with age where you realize that actually the work really needs you to be focused, and caffeine is the right choice in that matter.
Yeah, absolutely.
What sparked your interest in art?
What a good question. Well, I would say, some of my first memories are actually of making art. I used to, when my mom would be cooking, she would just put a bunch of paper on the floor and just get me to draw. So I think that was a way of, like, keeping me out of trouble from a young age. And yeah, it somehow really powerful to learn before you know how to write your name or how to really communicate in your language, how to solve problems, and how powerful it is to be able to immediately solve problems mm-hmm. on paper or on canvas or something.
I love that. I always felt like art was my first language. I joke about that with people where I'm like, you know, because I've got hearing problems and I always joke that I learned how to draw to communicate before I learned how to really speak English correctly. But I totally connect with that. I don't think I've ever asked you that question. So I was really curious what your answer was.
Yeah, that's interesting. I know. And it resonates with me when you say that art was your first language. Yeah. And then knowing you and your practice, you know, it's also interesting for me to hear that. I don't think I knew that about you.
Yeah. To me, I feel like we can communicate our experiences a lot clearer with art, but that's me. I can look at a painting and figure somebody's brain out pretty well. Speaking of brains, I'd love to know what you're working on or just finished up.
Right. Good question. Actually, I'm no surprise to you. So I'm finishing a series of brain paintings that I've been working on it's been like a 2-year project. And I'm finally coming to the end of the series now with the last three. And I finished, the first of the last three this week. So that was a nice feeling.
Congrats. That's exciting. Yeah. I can't wait to see.
Yeah, you're really sweet. It's really nice. Like after some, you know, because with painting, you never know. Sometimes it's 2 weeks and it's perfect. You've got it. Sometimes it's 1 week and everything you've ever, you know, usually after a long dry spell, mm-hmm. you'll just knock something out in a week or a few days even. And it's just everything that you ever needed to do. And then sometimes you work on a painting, you know, for 2 months before it's at a, you know, good stopping place. They're all different like that.
I've been in that a similar where I finished a big body of work and it's taken me pretty much all year just to get myself back in any type of motion. Like I've started a whole bunch of little small things and I feel like you give so much to a body of work and I'm starting to recognize I need that time to just relax and get my thoughts processed and play a little bit because I hadn't played in a while. But yeah, I totally understand. It's like I have a couple paintings I started today and I got halfway through them. And then I've got several large ones that have been sitting in the studio collecting dust.
It's always like that, right?
It is.
And you can't ever tell from the beginning of a painting. You think, okay, this one, yeah, I've got it. I'm inspired. I know exactly what I want to do. This will just take me a few days. And then, you know, before you know it, you're like, you know, God, when did this turn into this?
You know,
uphill climb, and then it's fighting with you. But you know, the best paintings always fight back with you.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Somehow.
So, okay, this series of work, do you have a show coming up or did you just have a show? I can't remember because it's been a couple months since we talked.
It has been a few months. I was in a group show that finished in June. I'm finishing work this month, actually, for a show that's coming up in November in a project space in Berlin called Gallery Hell. And actually, that's what I'm, I guess, more excited to talk about. Does this ever happen to you where you have a series that you love and you're finishing and you already know exactly how the next series is going to look and you're trying to kind of like concentrate and be in the moment and finish like an adult before you jump into the next thing, you know?
I usually jump in. I haven't grown up enough yet. I'm trying so hard. It's not there
yet. I do the same thing. I have so many sketches of exactly what I want to make in a few weeks. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to start working with objects again, actually. And, you know, using objects that I've found personally or reclaimed from the street or from the forest.
Yeah, what do you call them? Because I have been using objects also that I've reclaimed, and I'm not sure what to call them yet.
Right. I just say that they're objects because for me, a sculpture somehow really puts all the pressure of the narrative on you. You know, when I say this is a sculpture, I feel like I just call the 3D objects I just keep calling them objects because somehow that leaves enough of their own narrative to keep it interesting, if that makes sense.
No, that makes sense. I like the idea that you still give them their noun still instead of like a sculpture feels more like an adjective, though it is a noun. But anyways.
Right. That's very true. And when you say that you're working on sculptures, people tend to have an idea already mm-hmm. of what that would look like. Whereas when you say you're building objects, people are immediately fascinated. Ooh, what kind of objects, exactly. Right? Because an object can be anything.
I like the way you said that. Yeah, because I've been claiming that they're types of in-betweens because that's, you know, my obsession. But I don't feel like that really defines how much history they already have. And I love the fact that I'm using an object that already has history. So I like the idea of an object. It does. It kind of claims its own identity. That's good. I like that.
Yeah, I like that. I like that too.
That's great. If you could go back in time, back in the day, and give your younger self a tip or a trick, what would you recommend?
Oh, a tip or a trick? What a great question. Let me think. You know, I'm always amazed. Artists that I admire, I've always say, you know, how often have you heard people say that? Oh, you've got to unlearn everything that you learned and go back to. But I keep letting myself get excited about things now. And if I'm excited about something immediately, then I know, okay, there's something there. And if I'm terrified of something immediately, I think Marina Abramovich gave that great advice. When you're trying to feel out which ideas have power to them and which new works have potential, the most potential, you should just make a long list of the ideas that you have and the ones that scare you or the ones that really excite you or the ones you should keep. So I think I've had to learn, I think during Corona, I could feel like some of the works in this series were getting really tight, like I was tightening them up to a point where they were losing some of their life.
Mm.
You know, there's also something to be said for craftsmanship, but I really think, you know, what makes it art is when you keep some life in it, right? Like what makes writing writing is when it still has some personality in it. It's not just totally pristine and perfect. So back to your question, the most helpful tip or advice that I'm relearning right now is to not take myself so seriously and let my work just breathe a little and let it explore itself and, you know, sometimes make a huge mistake on purpose.
Mm.
So then there's something to resolve.
I love that. Yeah, I totally agree. Mess up a little bit. It sure helps the creative process. And also, it sometimes turns out better than you thought. I love that.
Yeah, absolutely. And then building on that, there's something about once I don't know if you find this in your practice, but I notice once I feel like a work is almost finished or it's perfect or something, I become really tedious and I become really careful and cautious about how I'm operating. And that's often the worst direction I could take a work. You know, it's normally a balance between discipline and emotion. It's not just discipline or just emotion. And I find when I make a mistake on purpose and I deliberately mess something up with I should also specify painting works like this. Yeah. Soldering does not work like this.
Truth.
But specifically with painting is a medium that works well with this, where sometimes I'll make a huge mistake on purpose just to loosen the work up again and loosen myself up again. Because what tends to happen is once we make a big mistake, we relax, you know, oh good, I made a mistake. Now I can, you know, build on that. Whereas if you're trying to keep something that looks perfect, if you're trying to keep it perfect and finish it, you kind of like whittle away the last bit of life, and, you know?
Yeah, it's like having a conversation with somebody and you're trying to be perfect, but then all of a sudden your passion shows through and you really actually start talking, kind of like what you're doing now. It's like when we get excited about something, it really shows up. But if we're trying to be really professional, and sometimes we'll lose the soul of what we're talking about. And I think that's true with art. I think that's true with everything. It's like, you've got to let yourself show up.
Yeah. I love how you said that. You've got to let yourself show up.
Got to let ourselves show up. I should put that on a t-shirt.
Yeah, that's great. You've got to, but it is, you've got to make space for the work to develop. You've got to make space for yourself to develop the work. And sometimes, you know, making mistakes and giving yourself the grace and forgiveness to make mistakes on canvas really help.
It's really human too. Humans make mistakes. We should show up on our work. I love it. So Catherine, do you have advice for our listeners about working on group shows with others?
That's a really good question. I would say to enjoy group shows and appreciate that your work is in dialogue with other artists, and that can be a lot more valuable. Honestly, having your work in some kind of relevant conversation can be a lot more powerful than having a solo show where it's just your work talking to itself.
Mm.
If that makes sense.
I think that's a good way of saying it.
I think we're also, you know, we're you know, with just the world we live in and the way we're raised and the way our egos are, we're really raised to believe the strongest thing we can have as artists is only solo exhibitions, and really, I think I've learned to also value group exhibitions and the kind of dialogue that can happen with your work and someone else's work, and that often it can start a conversation that really lets your work develop into something that's a lot more stronger and bigger and applicable than it being by itself.
So good. It's so true too. If I found that the couple shows that I've gotten to curate, which has been a dream, I really learned how valuable it is to put different artworks together in a setting. And it really does create more of a sentence instead of just a statement. And that was exciting to me, was seeing and playing around with the ideas of other people's ideas into a setting to create a bigger idea.
Yeah. Okay. I love that idea too.
I think this is good advice. What about in working in group shows? Have you experienced, what if you show up and there's different ideas? Have you had that before where you're trying to get along with the other artists? I haven't personally experienced that, but that was something someone else had asked.
Oh, interesting. Personally, any group show that I've been part of, in general, the other artists I find really interesting and really respectful. And also there's an accountability that you get from other artists that you don't get from people that are just asking about your work or showing your work. There's an accountability that you have with other artists. So one of the really nice things about group exhibitions that I found is then you're in conversation, your work is in conversation with other artists' work, but then you are in conversation with each other. And when another artist asks you, tell me about your work, you really don't have to, you can really strip everything down and say, well, my work is about connection and memory. This is what I build. And there's a directness that you can have with another artist. And there's so much accountability that you have in a group show because you're with other artists. We see each other, you can't fluff up something in front of other artists. You're really like stripped down, basically, and you really have to be able to let your work stand on its own and be able to just be real about what you do. Yeah, I think that's the thing that I appreciate most about group exhibitions, is that for me, when another artist looks at my work and goes, ah, I see, then that means, okay, cool, that it worked. And when an artist is like, I hear what you're saying, but I don't really get it. For me, that's really invaluable, because it shows you, okay, there's some connection. Maybe in your head this is working, but it's missing, maybe I should reflect a little and see if there isn't a better way to say this or do this.
That's so true. So what have you seen lately that knocked your socks off? Have you been gallery hopping? You said you took when we had talked last, you'd mentioned you'd taken a group to go see some museums. What did you see that really was spectacular?
Oh, okay. Oh, that's a great question. Actually, I don't know if you're aware of this, but in Germany this summer, we had something called a nine euro ticket, where normally, a train ticket, for example, from Weimar, where I live, to Berlin, it is like 2.5 hours by train or 3 hours by train. And that's normally like 20 euro or something, 30 euro sometimes. But with this new ticket, we could pay less than 10 euro a month and take any Whoa. Train, any bus, anywhere in the country.
What? That's incredible.
Right? And it was the slower trains. It wasn't the fast trains. But still, I mean, to be able to travel by train, by bus, by subway, by U-Bahn, anywhere in the country for less than 10 euro a month was just incredible. So for the last few months, I took advantage of that, and I was traveling a lot, and I saw some old friends of mine in Dusseldorf, an artist and a curator friend that I love very much. We met up in Dusseldorf, Germany, which is a great, wonderful art city. Like, historically, it's a great city. It's where Joseph Beuys was. It's where the Kunstakademie Dusseldorf is there. Some really good museums. But we met there because it was closer to the Netherlands than,
neat.
Any other. So we met up, and I needed to see art. I was preparing for this permanent residence meeting. And so we went around and we visited, sometimes when you're looking for inspiration or you really want to see a good piece of art, it's not where you think you're going to find it. And we took my friend's car and we went to some, of the big main museums and saw the stuff, that we were recommended to see. But we had on the last day, just on a whim, we had a drive and we went to a place called the Museum Insel Hombroy, and it's in Neuss,
okay.
N-E-U-S-S. I think I'm saying that right. It's in a really small city. And it reminded me exactly of Chinati Foundation in Marfa. It was, the same thing. We were driving. We're like, are we there? I don't know. Look at the map again. Are we close? And it's really in the middle of nowhere, really. And you walk around and there are these beautiful really minimalistic concrete buildings, and they have these collections inside. So you're what's really special about this place in Hombroich, or Museum Insel Hombroich, is that you have to walk around, you have to navigate through a forest, you have to walk around, you have to cross a little bridge over a river, and you have to kind of stumble around. I mean, there's a path, but you kind of stumble around through nature to get to these places, and then you open this door, and there's this totally a beautiful, for example, one of the buildings, you walk through a forest and you open a door, and it's just this completely minimal, beautiful white cube space with wonderful natural lighting and like a giant painting, just beautiful, hung beautifully, everything's perfect, light is perfect, and just to walk into this pristine environment from nature. And I think it was also an artist retreat, so like Joseph Beuys was there, there were a few other artists that I like, and anyway, it was beautiful. That was inspiring. And then there's some food there, and the food is just potatoes that they have there. They have some butter and some herbs that you put on the potato, and then they're like some eggs.
Oh, that sounds delicious, some actually.
Eggs, and they're like, here you go. And it's just really simple and really nice. You know, you're just sitting outside eating a warm food. Potato with butter on it in the sunshine. Mm. There's something nice about that.
I could totally get into that. I'm a little bit in love with potatoes.
I need to come to Germany then.
Me too. It's going to happen. I'm going to figure this out.
We'll figure it out. We'll get you here.
We've been saying it long enough.
Yeah.
Do you have an online art community or resource that you recommend?
Oh, that's a really good question. There's actually, I found, I hate to advocate like a company that already, you know, kind of exists and isn't like a small thing, but I found YouTube actually incredibly helpful. I'm not like a big YouTube person, but whenever I need to learn how to do something, whether it's a piece of software I have or I'm learning how to solder something, and like if I'm making an interactive work and I need to learn something, I can just look up videos. I find that really helpful. One of the most helpful things that I found online actually during the pandemic was that you can find audiobooks, like sci-fi audiobooks that are like 4 hours long that you can just listen to. So for example, I listened to the whole Star Wars trilogy, everything, nice. you know, like the original books, and you can listen to it all just
on YouTube.
Yeah, on YouTube, right? Huh.
I never thought of that. I'm going to have to go find those.
Right? And I don't remember. You know what it was? Like, there was a whole painting series that I brought with me from China, and I finished the whole series listening to the audiobook of every Alien film. And it was like back to back to back to back. Alien 1, Alien 2, Alien 3, 84. And it was just fabulous. It was like exactly what I needed.
I love that.
I think they're legal. The ones that I saw were open source, okay, but if they're not, then Ben, maybe you can take this part out. But
I think it's good. I know in America, if it's not legal, you just can't even watch it anymore.
Right. So it should be legal, and it's really you know, cheesy, but there was a painting series, I haven't been able to finish it, you know, for years. This was 2 years ago, and I could sit down and finish every single line and put it where it needed to go, listening to, you know, Sigourney Weaver's lines narrated through the, you know, how they...
That's so much fun.
It was fabulous. I was like, wow, great.
You know, I've had a lot of friends who say they listen to murder mystery podcasts and stuff like that. And I'm like, I totally get it. There's something about getting into some really deep, dark ideas while you're putting some paint down.
Right. And there's a way.
Why not?
Cheesy ones too. But there's a way that they describe things. Like, for example, having somebody describe in a really rich voice that, you know, the aliens are invading the spaceship and... You know, this cheesy stuff, they turned the flashlight and the aliens were coming. And, you know, this stuff is somehow the perfect thing to listen to and finish this cityscape series. It's funny.
I'm totally fine. I love that. Well, where can people find more about you? What's your website? Where are you on social media?
on people can see more of my work, better images of my work than they would on social media on my website, which is just katherinegohmert.com. And yeah, actually on Instagram, I'm quite active.
Yeah, you've got a good Instagram. Yeah, y'all follow her and check her work out. Also, if you check out the podcast, Don't Drink the Paint Water, on Instagram, you can put your questions for my future guests. That helps me out a lot. Also, putting a like or a share really is a great way to, for free, support your favorite artist. So when you listen, please do support my guests. It helps us all out. I recently opened up a Patreon for the podcast. So if you would like to support what I'm doing, and if you would like some free merch, I'm starting to get some stickers and possibly some bags. Check it out. I am putting information on there as well as my pod page on toginet.com about each podcast. So you want to see Catherine's work, I will put a link to her website on there as well as her Instagram. So please check it out. That helps a lot. Also, I have a studio now called In Between Studios. It is in Tyler, Texas, and we have a micro gallery. If you'd ever like to come check it out in person, you can schedule your own tour. You can also check it out on Instagram as well at In Between Art Studio. Thank you for listening in. Catherine, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks so much, Lisa. There's one more thing I almost forgot to mention. I'm so bad at this stuff. I'm also supposed to mention this paper that I co-wrote with the artist Malak Yakout Saleh in Egypt. We wrote this paper together about an artwork we did called Entre Quatro Paredes, which in Portuguese means Between Four Walls, that we performed in Weimar in 2017, and it's going to be published finally.
Oh, congrats. I cannot wait to check that out.
Yeah, thank you. It's in a book called Difficult Conversations about public art and art in public spaces. Yeah.
Wonderful.
So I think that's coming out around Christmas.
That's great. Oh, I will definitely, when I find out about it, I will definitely share that on Instagram, you guys. That sounds wonderful. And if y'all have not seen, when you check out Instagram, go see her videos. There's a really great one of the Between Four Corners. It's one of my favorite pieces I've seen, or interactive. That was a really cool piece.
Yeah, thank you. I performed that with three other artists, and the world has changed since then. It was.
Thank you so much, Catherine. Have a great rest of your day.
Yeah, thank you so much, Lisa.
Thanks for listening in. Thank you, podcasting wizards at TogiNet. If you want to start a podcast and sound amazing, I highly recommend you check them out. Don't forget, like this episode, it supports me and helps me make more podcasts. Also, check out the podcast's Instagram at Don't Drink Paint Water Podcast, yes, one word, to see pictures of what I've talked about and to leave your questions for my future guests. See you on the next episode of Don't Drink the Paint Water, the podcast.